wants to pick up my clothes, I don't have a problem with that. You know why? One day you may have a wife pick up your clothes for you.
Hey, man.
I get to have that.
That's for you single guys who still don't have a wife. You know, it's a blessing from the Lord to have a wife.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing to have that wife, and I thank God. But anyway, it's good to be home for Christmas. Normally, we're out there traveling around, and then when we're out there traveling around, we long for home. And then when we get home, we go stir crazy because we have nothing to do. But we thank God that we were able to be here for this Sunday, and Pastor asked me to teach a little bit on the importance of studying our Bible. Okay, and so I said, all right, well, Lord, give me something on studying the Bible, because there's a whole realm of studying your Bible. I mean, I could sit up here for weeks and teach on just studying your Bible. And you'll notice that the word study and read are two different things. They're even spelled differently. But most people take that they do a Bible reading every day, and they consider that a study. Now, sometimes your reading can bust out into a study. But God clearly in the Bible teaches that reading and studying are two different things. It's two different aspects of our Christian life. And so I want to spend a few minutes here on why the importance of studying our Bible. God commands us to turn with me to 2 Timothy. And you go, well, I know this verse. Good. Don't let it become nothing to you because you know a verse. Don't let it not have an effect on your life because you know a verse. Many people get caught in the trap of, well, I know these verses. And then therefore what they do, John Mark, is they shut off the effect of that verse having any meaning in their life. So 2 Timothy 2, look at verses 15 through 17. Why studying the Bible is important. Number one, God commands us to. Look what it says here. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker. The Bible does instruct us to read. In Ephesians 3:4 says, whereby when you read that you may understand my knowledge and in the mystery of Christ. Paul instructs us to read to gain knowledge and understanding. But look at, reading is a basic knowledge and a basic understanding. That's what you get out of reading. If all you care to know about your Bible is just the basics, then you go ahead and keep reading. Because that's what you'll get out of it. You'll get a basic, and most churches today, when you go in there, trust me, I've been in hundreds of them, what you get is a person who tries to come and have a talk with you about doctrine, and all they know, number one, is commentaries. They start talking, and I understand perfectly well where they got their doctrine. It comes from a commentary. They use words that are not in our Bible. And then you go and have a conversation with them, and you go, well, this person's a reader, and he really thinks they're studying. They're not studying. We are instructed to read to get basic understanding and basic knowledge. I help those men that are in jail and prison when they first start out. I help them with the reading. I get them reading their Bible. And then next thing you know, they have a question that pops up. I go, well, there you go. Now look, you're ready to start studying. God just put a question on your heart.
Right.
You find an answer.
Amen.
Right. Why? Because God's trying to move them from just the basic understanding of this Bible to a more deeper understanding of what God has for them. That's what studying does. Let's break that down here for a minute. Well, let me read. Studying produces a deeper understanding and knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God hath revealed unto them by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. If you want to know the deep things of God, my friend, it's going to take more than just reading. Reading is not going to give you the deep things of what's in this Bible. It's going to take a studying, and I want to break this word, these verses down in 2 Timothy, okay? Studying is a whole different aspect. Matter of fact, John 14:26 says this, Jesus Christ is speaking, he says, the Comforter, when he comes, he'll teach us all things. How many things? All things. The problem is people don't believe that. This is what I hear often, Carl. Well, I really want to learn the Bible. The very first thing that person's going to do is go out and buy a book about the Bible. I'm not against books. But if you want to learn the Bible, then you stay in the Bible. Right. God gave us a Bible. He didn't give us a bunch of books to read. Exactly. Books come secondary. Today it's not that way, Carl. If you want to learn, Mike, if you want to learn something in the Bible, then go read a book on it. Big mistake. Big mistake to read. Take a new convert and send them to a book. Big mistake taking somebody who says they want to learn the Bible and tell them to go read a book. Big mistake.
Yes, sir.
Because what's going to happen is they're going to take whatever is said in that book, and there are mistakes made in books over what the Word of God says.
Yeah, that's good.
And then a big fight ensues. A big fight happens. Because you say, no, this is not what the Bible says. Well, you know, so-and-so said this. It's a complete mess. God told us to read our Bibles to get those basic things. Do we do doctrines? Do we read? I read my book, Bible, in the morning. I get up and I read my Bible. I think I read, excuse me, 2 or 3 times through the year I read my Bible. But then there's studying. You see, studying takes a little more effort. Studying means you have to take more time out of your life for God.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Isn't that amazing that this is what he expects from us after what he's put up with us for all those years and then still died for us? And he says to go ahead and read your Bible, but I want you to study it too? My goodness, we'll give up time for everything else on this planet, but God forbid when it comes to give up some more time for studying that we can find that 15 or 20 minutes a day to study. I'll never forget when you looked at me one day and you said, Dale, you'll never find time to study. You have to make it. That has never left me all these years.
Amen.
My friend, you may be able to find time to read, but you better make time to study. Studying is a very important matter to God. We've seen it here when he says in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Studying shows God how serious we are about learning his word. Do you realize that studying is not showing yourself how much you know in front of the people? I do not sit there when I do a study in my Bible thinking, well, you know, maybe I can go teach Pastor John something, or maybe I'll impress Brother Cook. Studying is showing yourself approved unto God. You're showing God how serious you are about learning about him and what he says and that life. It has nothing to do with any of you sitting in these pews. Studying to show yourself approved unto God. Do you know studying is a benefit that we get from God? Reading is our personal thing that we have with God. It's that personal time we have with God. Studying is now showing yourself a difference from reading. It's now showing yourself, Timothy, that you're more serious about God. And we're going to get into this a little bit more here. Studying shows how serious we are about his word. You notice what it says here, a workman. Notice the first four, notice that word there, work. W-O-R-K, work. Studying can become work, and people have become lazy. And what they do is they'll get up in the morning, they'll do a daily devotional, they'll read something, and then when it comes to studying, they'll say, well, I'd rather listen to something, or I'll go listen to a tape, or I'll go listen to a sermon. Those are not bad things, but that, my friend, is not studying. What they're trying to do, John Mark, is take what that man has learned and make it their own. God wants you to study to show yourself approved unto God so that you can stand on his shoulders and look above him. That's what God wants us to do. Now, he teaches wonderful things. I'm not saying anything bad about the man. But God forbid, Kyle, if we get in a trap of where we just take what he teaches and nothing else. God wants to teach us things on our own. Study to show yourself approved unto God.
Amen.
Not our pastor, not our next door neighbor, not our friends. We're studying to show ourselves approved to God. And you know what that takes? Work. Effort. A conscious choice in your life. A purposing, as Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 said. It said Daniel purposed in his heart. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10. Ezra said this. He prepared his heart to receive the laws of the Lord and to do it. You see, it takes a preparation to study. Why? It's God's holy word. This is not just a self-help book. If you believe that this Bible, this King James Bible, is a self-help book, you got it all in the wrong order, my friend. It's not a self-help book. It's a God helping us in our life because we don't know how to run our life. That's why we needed a Savior in the first place. And we got to study how to live our life. We got to study to do things. Hey, how do we think our minds get changed? I could read something all day long and it will not change my mind, Charity. But when I get into studying, it changes your mind and your heart. And then guess what happens? Your ways change. Work. It's an effort. It's a conscious effort, John Mark. When you get up there and you're working 12 degrees below zero wind, you have to make a purpose in your heart to go out there and do that job. Well, God says, you go ahead and make that same purpose in this Bible. It won't come any other way. I remember studying like I used to study before I was saved, and then studying like I do now after I got saved. I'm going to just tell you this, my friend. It's study. You know why? Because I'd like to sit next to my wife and sit back and put the recliner up. I'd like to sit back, Miss Tanya, and hang out with my friends or my kids or go hunting. But how important is God in my life that I'll just take a reading that I do and think that God is okay with it when He commanded me to study?
Amen.
This is not something He gave me a choice. He didn't say, Carl, I want you to go ahead and study if you feel like it. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Then it goes on to say, rightly dividing the word of truth. You cannot rightly divide the truth that you do not know. And let me tell you something, Brother Ronnie knows about this guy, Joseph, that we're dealing with in prison. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you do not know your Bible, that man will eat you up and spit you out. And I mean, he will chew you up horribly. And he thrives on it, and he loves it. You know what he can do? He can rightly divide your Bible better than you. Because he studies it. And he don't even believe it. And if you're not in there studying, how can you rightly divide the word of truth when you don't even know what the truth is? It takes a studying to do that. God's just not going to say, here, have all the truth in the world that you want. I'll just give it to you freely. It's not like that, my friend. It's a studying. It's a work. And if you don't know this, then you can never help a man like that. You know what my prayer is? I always preach against people not having hope. I caught myself not having hope for that man. And God arrested my heart, and I said, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry.
Amen.
And I started praying for that man's salvation and said, teach me how to win that man to Jesus.
Amen.
You teach me how to win that pagan man to Jesus Christ. He hates everything about Jesus, and I mean, he curses him. And I'm telling you right now, he'll run circles around people who don't study their Bible. That's what it's coming to, Pastor. It's what the society's coming to. They hate God.
Right.
And if you're not studying up, I'm telling you right now, you'll be lost in it. You'll never be able to rightly divide the word of truth, my friend. This is why Paul says in verse 16, but shun profane. Profane is somebody who has a disrespect, who has contempt against what we're trying to teach. He says, shun those people. Get away from them. But look what he says. And vain babblings, that's worthless, foolish speaking. Why? What is it going to do? For they will increase more unto ungodliness. Okay? Fighting with that man. Me and Brother Ronnie already discussed. We said, we will not argue with this man. That's what he wants. He wants you to argue with him. Because he goes, gotcha. Gotcha. You see, you got to stay calm with him. You just got to get him little bits at a time. If he, for 1 second, thinks you're attacking him, gotcha. But see, you can't learn how to do that. If you, anytime a challenge comes to you out of the Bible, if you just reject it and put it away and don't do anything about it, you see, you got to face those things.
Amen.
You got to look those things head on and say, Lord, I'm not so sure about this. There's the stuff the man talks about, I have no clue. I have no clue what he's into. But John Mark, what do you think I have a clue about now? You know what it's done for me by this man attacking our Christianity? It has come in. It has embedded my faith deeper into Jesus Christ. It has embedded my faith deeper into that King James Bible. Letting those challenges come to me and facing those things and getting into the Word of God. What I say, getting into the Word of God and let God. Let me just tell you a little secret here. I do not believe the King James Bible because of what's written about it.
Right.
I believe the King James Bible because of what's written in it.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly right. Yes, sir.
I don't care what man's opinion is about the Bible, and there are good books out there.
Right.
But my goodness, you know what, Bob? God didn't give me faith in that book by what somebody wrote about it.
Right.
God gave me faith in that book that I could stand on that by what he said in it.
Amen.
How did I get there studying that thing? Why? I want to know what God has to say. I want to know his mind on things. Isaiah 50 verse 4, Isaiah talks about how God changes thinking. How God changes his talking. How God changes the way he hears things and sees things. Why? That came from a study. It came from a study to learn how to deal with the guys like Joe that we have to deal with.
You can't rightly divide the word of truth. You can't vainly say. And look at verse 17. It says there, and their word will eat as doth the canker. That's like a cancer. When those attacks come, it eats you inside. It starts turning your guts inside of you. You go, oh my goodness. God, how do I handle this? What are you going to do? Just let those feelings stay there, Carl? Or are you going to go get the answer to that?
Come on.
Let me just tell you what that takes. From a person who knows nothing about what that man's talking about and letting the Holy Ghost of God teach you through your studies on what that means.
Amen.
Didn't he promise that in John 14:26?
Sure did.
He said he would teach us those things. Now, either God is he's a liar or he's telling us the truth. Which one is it? Which one do you believe? Let me just say this. If you believe that God could teach you what's in that Bible, you would thirst for that thing. You would want that thing and you would desire that thing more than anything in your life. The reason why you don't study is because of your unbelief. You're not going to study something you believe in. You go to college, why? You're going to study something. You're going to study behind something that you believe that you can do. Then why won't you study your Bible that same way? I'm not talking about reading it. I'm talking about studying your Bible. Why don't you do it the same way? If you believe that God can do what's in that book, then why don't you study that thing like you really believe God can do something with it? Psalm 119, 103. We're just going to turn to a few quick verses here. Psalm 119. I just thought I'd get that out of the way. Psalm 119. And like I said, there's many different aspects. I'm going to share with you one. Psalm 119, 103. Look what it says here. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. What do you mean? You ever taste something sweet? What instantly happens to you when you taste that sweet that you want more? And you want more. And you want more. And you want more. You know what he just said there? That's how the Bible should be to you. If the Bible is not that to you, then the problem is not with the Bible or God. The problem is with you and your heart. We should desire the Word of God like we desire that sweet thing, that thing that's good to us, that taste. Why? This, look at, there are treasures in here. If I said, Carl, man, right underneath your foot, there's gold, unbelievable amounts of gold. The only thing you can use, though, is your fingertips to dig through that floor. How many people are not going to dig through that floor? You'll dig until your fingers are nubs. Well, if I told you there's treasures, unbelievable treasures in this book, why won't you dig for it?
Come on.
Why won't you get into it? Why doesn't it mean that much to you? You know why? Because most people are looking for the treasures of this world. They're not looking for the spiritual treasures that are hidden in this book. Want to know a reason why to study? Spiritual treasures hidden in this book. God gives a new life through that. I need to go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, not 119. Psalm 19. Look at this. I'm going to read 7 verses here, and then I'm going to get to a point. Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Look what it says here. Let's read 7 through 14. Some of the reasons why we should study. If you're lost, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Why should I study my Bible? If you're a person in here who's not saved, it's the King James Bible that's going to save you. 1 Peter 1:21 and 22 says that we're born again by the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is what shows us what we are inside. It brings us to that law. It opens up our eyes to what we are in God's eyes. It shows us our guilt and our rebelliousness and our iniquities within our heart. And it exposes that thing. You know what it does? It converts a person. That means it makes them different than what they are. You know why a lot of people don't like to study their Bible? Because they don't like to see God show them what they are. Well, you start seeing the filth about what you are, it'll change you, Bob. It'll change your whole life when you start seeing what God really thinks about you. But you know what? People don't want to see what God thinks about them. So they don't study the Bible, Pastor. They go, boy, God really changed your life. You know how he changed my life? Studying that Bible, getting saved. That's how he changed my life. They like the cake. They don't like the recipe.
Amen.
Study. Why? Because the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. Verse 8. Rest of verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple.
That's right.
The statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoicing, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than they of gold. Yea, much fine gold, sweeter than also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is a great reward. You see all the benefits for studying? It's a God's word. It's going to teach you. Look, if you're not saved, you'll be saved. If you are saved, God will teach you how to live a life beyond anything you could ever imagine. My goodness, there's a life out there that Jesus Christ wants to give. And all he says is, this is your reasonable service. You give yourself to me in studying, and I'll reward you for it.
Amen.
Those things of the world become... I heard a man tell me when I first got saved, he said, the things of the world become less and less attractive to you. I thought, man, there's no way. How do I... I'm going to tell you right now, you get into studying your Bible.
That's right.
Hey, Amy, hasn't the things of the world gotten less and less attractive to us?
That's right.
Why? It's a live book. Studying because it changes your life, it changes your heart, it changes your desires, it changes everything about you. It may not get you out of a certain situation, but it'll show you how to get through it. People instantly think, Pastor, instantly, those men and women that I work with in jail and prison, they instantly think they're going to get right out of that situation, and that's not true. I can tell you many stories in the Bible. John the Baptist got left in prison, got his head cut off with Jesus Christ walking the earth. That thief on the cross, he said, you'll be with me in paradise. And then Jesus Christ dies, left the man on the cross, they had to break his legs. You see, Jesus doesn't always take you out of the circumstance, but he teaches you how to get through it. How do you learn how to get through it? Studying that Bible.
Amen.
Teach you how to get through it. He'll show you how to get through that thing. Give you a desire to grow. Why do we want to study? You'll have a desire to grow. 1 Peter 2:2 says that. As babes desire the sincere milk of the word. To grow, to grow, to grow. Not stay the same. Not stay the same person that you've always been. To grow. There's a growth in this Christian life. Well, how do you become? How does a person grow in the Christian life? They get into that Bible and study it. Let me just tell you this. If you stop feeding yourself, you're going to shrink to nothing and die. You stop feeding yourself with the studying of the word of God. Spiritually, you are going to die. You can't grow when you're not being fed. You ever say, well, my reading is becoming very boring. Do you ever know that God might be trying to urge your heart to study then? Teaches us how to be mature in our Christian walk. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. It teaches us. Why do we have to study? It teaches us how to mature. It teaches us how to grow. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. You go, man, this is some pretty basic stuff. Let me just tell you this. It may be basic, but it doesn't mean it's any less important.
Exactly. That's good, Greg. Yeah.
That becomes our attitude in churches. Well, because I heard this kind of stuff before, blah, blah, blah. Then why aren't you putting it to work in your life if it's so basic?
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. I can sit down and have a conversation with somebody 5 minutes. I can tell exactly where they're getting all their stuff. They haven't even touched their Bible. They're reading everything else about the Bible. Thank God I don't need everything else about the Bible, Tim Asquith. Thank God I only need the Bible. You'd be surprised at how much study material I don't use. That'll put a shock. You go, how many books have you read? I think maybe one or two since I've been saved. Maybe. Maybe. And they'd be Pastor John's. It wouldn't be anybody else's. I don't need their opinion. What? Who taught that man?
Come on.
Who taught that man what he's trying to teach me? You mean to tell me the Holy Ghost of God can't teach me that same thing, Carl? Is that what people are trying to believe? You say you believe that Bible, but yet he cannot teach you the same thing he might have taught Spurgeon? Why can't he? You're just not sold out like they are. You won't put the study in to get it. That's the problem. That's the issue. Hebrews chapter 5, look what it says in verse 13 and 14. For when God had made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, am I in the right place? No. 13 to 14 verse of chapter 5 of Hebrews. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Are you tired of being a babe? Are you tired of drinking that milk and tired of staying in the same position you've been? You know, look what he says in verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. So those that are growing, how are they growing? In the word of God.
Otherwise, they're still a baby staying in those baby things, and they're not moving anywhere. There's no spiritual growth in their life. Look at, you may grow physically as you get older, but look at, the spiritual things is what God is looking at. The change of heart, the change of desires. He's not worried about how good we look on the outside. This means nothing to God.
Right?
What's happened inside of me is what matters to God. He's looking at my heart. He's looking at a changed life. How does that come? By studying. What does that mean? It's time for us to leave what Pastor calls G-Bach and get into the meat.
Yeah.
How do we get into the meat? It takes a study. You got to throw away the milk and say, I'm done with the milk. Could you imagine if I got up here at 52 years old and started sucking on a bottle today? You'd all think that was kind of goofy, don't you? Then why are some people been saved 20, 30, 40 years and still sucking on a bottle when it comes to the Word of God?
Come on.
Because we refuse the meat.
Come on.
That's a reality. Why should we study? Because you're hungry for the meat. You want the real God. You want the deep things of God. You're sick of this surface stuff. Look what it says in verse 14. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are full age. Even to those by reason of use have their senses exercised. Discern both good and evil. My friend, I meant to say, if you're still a babe on milk, you're going to have a hard time discerning what is good and evil.
That's right.
He said those who are on the meat are able to tell. You know why? Because some things are going to be hidden. Some things aren't going to be out there plain.
Right.
But when you start getting into the Word of God, when you start getting into the meat of the Word of God, you start noticing those things. Oh. You stay on the milk for the rest of your life in this Christian life. You may be saved and you cruise on to heaven, but I'm going to tell you right now, it'll be the most unhappiest, most miserable time in your life. Studying brings joy. Why? Because you're showing yourself approved unto God. Now look at this. I'm going to skip some stuff here. There's a lot here. Like I said, I could teach a whole lot. But I want to give you an example of some things of that God thinks is important. For one, the S study. Go and spirit. Go study the S spirit. The spirit. The capital S, small s. Go study that. That teaches you who and what is working in the Godhead. Very important study for you to go out there and take and look up the S. Anytime you see the word spirit. And I want you to do it. You break it down into columns. Break it down into different sections. And that way you can see who's doing the work of what. Is God doing this? Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. Who is doing the work in that? You go, gosh, do you think that's very important to God? Then why did he make a lowercase and a capital?
Come on.
Why did he give you the distinction to be able to tell those things if it wasn't important to God? So why wouldn't you want to study something like that? Wouldn't you want to know who's doing the work in that person's life and in that situation? Don't you want to know more about who your God is? The one you say you love so much. Let me just tell you this, men. You love your wife so much, you would do anything to get to know her when you first met her. And you'd do anything to try to keep her happy. Well, why won't you do the same thing with God and His Word?
Come on.
Why is it that we get to a certain point, we just stop, okay, now I got what I want, now I'm just going to cruise. Oh, no. Wouldn't you want to know more and more about Jesus Christ, more and more about God, more and more about the work of the Holy Ghost? Then that study, that spirit study is very important. God put it in there for a purpose. He put it in there for a reason. God is a God of decency and order. 2 Corinthians 14:40. But to also know that King James Bible believers also change the Word of God. They change the Word of God because of what they've heard or learned from man. And therefore, when you talk to them, they're talking things that are not even in the Bible, that don't even pertain to the Bible. And you will never know it, and you'll be deceived and not have a clue about it. Many Christians, including Baptists, they want to change the things that are in the Bible. For example, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read this real quick because I got 5 minutes. Exodus 21:7 says, and thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. And the altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. So we see here that God asked for shittim wood. But commentaries and the other perverted versions will always put in there Achaia. Is there a difference between the Achaia and shittim wood that God asked for? Are these things important to God? Why bother? Well, let me tell you. Yes, they're very important to God, and that's why he put them in there the way he put them in there. If he wanted your opinion on how to put things in the Bible, then he would ask you for your opinion. But he didn't.
That's right.
He leaves them just like he wants them.
Right.
And so the Bible says that we need shittim wood to be able to build this altar. You say, well, what's the big difference? Well, let me share with you. Acacia wood is it's a family of trees. Okay, you guys are all just familiar up here and some down in the south. Pine wood, pine trees. Brother Ronnie, can all pine trees be used for Christmas trees? Can all pine trees be used to build things?
Ooh.
Oh. So they're not. The acacia is a family of trees. But they all can't be used for the same thing. The shittim wood or the shitta tree, which God requested to build the altar, is in the acacia family, but it has a different it has a different use. Here's what the shittim wood or the shitta tree has different than the rest of the family in there. Shittim wood has the weight and consistency of water. That means they build houses, shelving, things, stuff like that, where what happens if you can put a flame to it and it will not burn. The Jews use it today all the time. Yeah. Very rare wood. Very hard to find. I believe where Moses was standing was a bush of the shittim tree. Not. Okay? Why? It wouldn't burn. It has the consistency of water. God knew what he was doing. So, the acacia or other forms of that tree would be this. It'd be like you going to Walmart and buying some particle board furniture. How well do you think that would hold up? At this point, remember this. At this point, God has got the children of Israel getting ready to go into the wilderness for 40 years. Could you imagine taking particle board apart and putting it together for 40 years? Not going to work. Now remember, we're talking about building an altar. Shittim wood can handle burning sacrifices on it. Acacia couldn't.
Right.
But they go around changing that. Because they think, no. Why? Because they're trying to think with their thoughts, not with God's.
Amen.
Right.
Some man that came up and said, no, it's the acacia tree. No, the acacia is the family that shittim wood is in. But that tree on itself, in its own, is a special tree that God knew would hold up for 40 years and be able to do 40 years of burnt offerings. You say, was that important to God? That's why he put shittim there and not acacia.
Right.
Right. That comes from study. You know who taught me that? Study. Getting into that Bible and figuring out why would God ask for that? Why would he ask for those measurements? Why would he ask for these things? Bronze and brass is another thing that gets on my nerves.
Right.
There's never a time in your King James Bible they ever ask for bronze. Ever.
Right.
Ever. Why? Because bronze can't hold up to the heat that it was required of that altar. You say, well, brass couldn't hold up. Today, brass can't hold up to the heat that was required of it because man puts different mixtures in the brass. When God asked for it back then, Carl, it was pure brass.
Yeah, amen.
Therefore, it could hold the heat. This is why God asked for brass and not bronze.
Amen.
Holiest of holies. That's not even in your Bible.
That's right.
But everybody said, holy is holy. Well, how do you get that stuff? Because you keep, here's what you do. You study your Bible and you keep the words that God asked for exactly where he kept
That's
them
right.
for exactly what he kept them for.
Yeah.
You don't have to go on the outside. If you're going to read a book, here's what I suggest. When you read a book and it puts a verse out there, you go ahead and have your Bible open so you can see if that's right or wrong. Because 90% of the time, they're going to use somebody's commentary, dictionary, lexicon, or something else, and it's not going to line up with your Bible. Why is it important for us to study? So you can rightly divide the word. So you can see what God has in this book. So you can see the treasure. Do you know the treasures that God has given me by taking? I seen you doing the study of the tabernacle. I seen you doing. Man, finish that. Get it. Do it. One of the best studies I ever did in the world was doing that tabernacle, tearing it apart. I was going to bring the book here. I did all my own drawings by hand. Every day I figured out all the inches, all the centimeters, everything that it had to be. And man, let me just tell you this. In that, I see more of Jesus Christ in that than I did anywhere else, any book that you'll ever find on any shelf of any Christian bookstore.
Amen.
Number two, the first five chapters of Leviticus. You want to understand Paul? Take the book of Hebrews and the book of Leviticus and study them together. It will be mind-blowing to you. It will show you more, and I mean almost verse for verse, Paul will go through that and he will teach you the book of Leviticus, the first five chapters. And I'm telling you, it's mind-blowing. Heard somebody say the other day that gold was the most important thing in the Old Testament. That's a lie. It wasn't. Salt was. Salt was more important. It was more valuable at one time than gold. And that's why you hear the Roman soldiers sometimes got paid in salt. And that's why it was the term comes from worth his weight in salt, I think is what they say. Why? Because that's what they got paid in. And so studying these things are important. Why? So you can know your Bible. So you can know your God. Isn't it? Don't you want to know who your God is? Don't you want to know how he functions and how he thinks? Because in Isaiah tells us this in Isaiah 55. It says, he doesn't think like we think.
That's right.
And his ways are not our ways.
That's right.
So therefore, man needs to get his nose out of it and stop trying to change it. Leave God the way, exactly the way he gave us, the way it is. It's perfect, exactly the way it is. If God wanted you to figure out a different word to put there, then why did he put it in English? If he wanted you, Jim, to put it back in Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic, then why did he put it in English? People going around today thinking they got to put it back in the languages that God took it out of.
Craziness.
What in the world is going on with that?
Yeah. Come on.
How many people died? How many people's blood were shed to give us the King James Bible in English? And yet these men want to go on the head and put it back in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic. Why? You see, this is what happens when man gets his foot in it. And I'm going to tell you this right now. You will be deceived and caught off guard if you do not study and know these things. They are important to God and they should be important to you. Why? Because it's a commandment of God to do just more than a reading. He commands us to study. Pastor Hain, I'm done.
Dismiss us.
Oh, you want me to dismiss? All right, let's pray then. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the teachings, Lord. And I just ask that you help the people to see the importance of studying this Bible and the importance of not only studying, but doing it and getting in there, rightly dividing the word of truth to show themselves approved unto you. Thank you for this morning. Be with Brother Neil as he preaches at 11 o'clock. Be with Brother Kyle as he preaches at 1 o'clock. And thank you for what you have done and will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.